When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Let's talk to our buddy Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. We don't want to waste time, Danny, because these games are intriguing, they're interesting, and we're here.
And you've got hot takes.
I do. And you do. And Danny, let's start first with this Indiana game, Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame in this game, but everybody we've talked to from a college football standpoint says, look, don't sleep on Indiana. I know there's not a lot of respect for the teams that they played this season because their schedule wasn't daunting. Mm. Tell me how you feel about going into this game tonight. 8 o'clock, Notre Dame at home, favored by 7.
Oh, I love this game. You got the little in-state rivalry, little brother versus big brother, and big brother happens to be one of the most storied programs in college football history. Playing with touchdown Jesus, overlooking a snow-ridden field, like there's just a little dusting of snow. I cannot wait for this matchup. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned Indiana's schedule. Notre Dame's schedule isn't exactly a murderer's row either. Nope. I think this one really depends on the number. Now, I like Indiana as well. I think their defense is going to be able to really limit what Notre Dame can do on the ground. I think they sell out, and I think they contain that rush game. And that being said, Riley Leonard, the Notre Dame quarterback, has not been great when he's had to throw the football. So that, to me, is what determines the outcome. If Indiana can do that, I don't like them to only cover. I like them to win the game potentially, but that is easier said than done. So I like Indiana, but if you like them with the points, make sure you find, like, you got to wait and see if you can get it around that touchdown or over, because I know it was kind of sliding down under that 6.5. It's been bouncing around there. I definitely like the full touchdown if you want to take Indiana. I like them to win the game outright. It's one of my upset picks for the weekend, but I know it's going to be a daunting task to do that on the road against Notre Dame.
Right. Two teams, cold, Midwest. They play in the cold in the Midwest. Everybody, yeah. Danny's making so much about the Southern teams going north, specifically Dallas. And we've been to Dallas, and it's been cold and Midwestern feeling. But do you give SMU a shot against Penn State? Because Penn State's defense, the physicality, I know that SMU, it looked like they were just, the stage was too big in the first quarter against Clemson. Then they really got it together.
Yeah, this game makes me nervous for SMU. Like, I like Clemson a little bit better, even though the point spread is a bigger number. This game, I worry, could get a little bit ugly. And I like SMU. Rhett Lashley has done a phenomenal job. Their first year in the ACC, they come in there and compete. But, man, Penn State, I was just in Indianapolis at the Big Ten championship game, and watching them run on Oregon's defense with two 100-yard rushers in Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, that makes me worried for SMU. And SMU has been good stopping the run, but this is a different animal when you're talking about Penn State. You're having to go into weather. It is going to be cold there. It's going to be a whiteout in Happy Valley, which is one of the tougher places to play. I think you could see a similar script as what happened in the Clemson SMU game in the ACC championship. The only difference, I don't know if SMU can come all the way back and put it on the line and tie it up late. I think they'll be trailing pretty much the whole game. I think that overwhelming front on both sides of football, Abdul Carter, one of the best pass rushers in the country, I think he's able to, you know, create some turnovers for Kevin Jennings, the SMU quarterback. That game's the one that worries me that could get a little bit sideways if things don't go well for SMU.
Yeah, Penn State has two, I'm not going to say top picks as far as like top five, certainly two first-rounders, right, off the edge. They've got a great front.
They really do. They've got studs. They've got a couple of good linebackers that are in the middle. Their front seven's definitely the best front seven that SMU has faced, including Clemson, who they faced last week. It's just a gauntlet. Now, the other weapon, too, is Tyler Warren is the best offensive weapon that Penn State has. He's their tight end. He won the Mackey Award for the best tight end in the country, but he's so much more than a tight end. He lines up with his finger in the dirt, but he also stretches out wide and plays wide receiver. He'll line up in the slot as a receiver. He'll line up in the backfield as a running back, and he even takes snaps as a quarterback and will throw it. The guy is a freak of nature. I think he's going to be too much for SMU's defense as well. I do think Penn State's able to overwhelm SMU.
It's our man Danny Cannell, guys, breaking it down here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks, big Christmas party here in Kennesaw, and the outfits are awesome. Danny, you mentioned Clemson. I took Clemson today in our pick segment just because they're physical, and Texas struggles, I'm sorry, Carl, with teams that are physical.
What?
Can Cade Klubnik keep it together? He played yours back in the Texas State Championship back in the day.
Yeah, he did, and he won that game in DK Royal Stadium. So quietly, Cade Klubnik, he was awful against Georgia in the second half. I saw a quarterback who looked like deer in the headlights, but quietly, he's put together a phenomenal year. 33 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, but most importantly, this is the difference. He doesn't turn the ball over, and he's found his legs. Like, he's been able to make some plays on the ground, and one of the things I've seen from him is the confidence to be able to evade the pass rusher, and he's got some athleticism that I think could be problematic for Texas. So I'm with you on this one. I like the 12.5 points for Clemson, even though it's a big number. I'm not completely sold on Texas's offense, and I think there's something off with Quinn Ewers. Now, maybe a week and a half, you know, almost 2 weeks off since the SEC championship is enough time for him to heal, but he really hasn't been looking like the same quarterback that we saw that everybody loved last year coming into the season, even earlier this season at Michigan, where he looked really strong. Something is impairing him, and he's without his top receiver in Isaiah Bond, who is not going to play for Texas. So I think all of that leads to a pretty strong performance from Clemson.
All right, let me ask you the elephant in the room, because all my Texas guys are talking about this. If he struggles, and we know that he has at times, you can't wait around to put Arch Manning in the game, right? You've got to go ahead and insert him into this situation, or do you think that doesn't happen?
I think he plays. Now, I thought he would play in the SEC championship game, too. I thought they would have a package for him, because remember when they played in College Station, they had a little red zone package for him, and Arch Manning came in and rushed for a touchdown. So I'm surprised Sark hasn't used him. If he does, so what I don't know is if he'll just have a package for him, but if Quinn Ewers struggles, if he has 2 interceptions and they're ugly or bad, kind of like they did against Georgia in the regular season and in the SEC championship game, I don't think he'll hesitate to break the glass and go to Arch Manning, especially from all accounts. If Quinn's done in Texas. Now, whether it means he goes to the NFL or he transfers, like, this team is Arch Manning. So you don't have to worry about quarterback controversy or anything like that. You just want to win. So I think if he does struggle, he'll be more likely to go to Arch Manning. And you could see a similar scenario play out like Tua Tagovailoa when he came in for Jalen Hurts with Alabama in that national championship game. I think that's the type of situation you're looking at. So I would not be surprised if you see Arch Manning for the Longhorns.
And Danny Cannell, man, we talked a lot in the beginning of the season. It looked like after that sort of Duke's Mayo kickoff game in Charlotte that Nico Iamaleava was going to be the next big thing. And then he kind of hit a wall, and like he struggled. Can he be a superstar quarterback, or just Tennessee relies on that physical defense against the injuries for Ohio State's offensive line?
So I don't think he has to be a superstar to beat Ohio State. What he's going to have to do is connect on a few big plays. Like, I don't expect him to go out there and throw for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns, but he might have to throw for 225 and 2 touchdowns with 0 interceptions. Like, most importantly, he can't turn the ball over. But I think Ohio State is going to challenge him, because Dylan Sampson is the best running back in the SEC, and that clearly is what Tennessee wants to challenge Ohio State's physicality. It's exactly what Michigan did on the last game of the regular season, embarrassed the Buckeyes at home. So I think Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, loads up with his defensive guys in the box. But that's going to present some opportunities for Nico to connect on the outside, to hit some of those big plays, which he's more than capable of doing. But the one trend I've noticed, Nico has not been the same as he is at Neyland Stadium as he is on the road. And playing in the road in the Shoe, I know there's a Tennessee takeover and they're bringing a lot of people with them, but it's still going to be a hostile atmosphere in cold weather. Again, another kind of thing that makes me a little bit nervous for Nico. So I think Ohio State wins this one. The roster is still insanely talented. They've got enough talent not only to beat Tennessee but to win the national championship. My biggest question for Ohio State is, where are they mentally? Can they shake that cloud that is hanging over the stadium that is the Michigan Wolverines and kind of use it to galvanize each other, that loss, to come together, to get angry, and to play inspired for Ryan Day? If they do, they can come together and win the whole thing potentially. If they don't, you're probably looking at Ryan Day getting fired if he loses to Tennessee at home.
Danny Cannell, our guest, guys, brought to you by Bet Online. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Coming up, we will hear from Kirby Smart. And speaking of the Dogs, I do want to ask you, how do you like their chances with Gunnar Stockton starting at quarterback, regardless of who the opponent is, whether it's Notre Dame or Indiana?
So, Carl, I'm kind of surprised that the odds makers haven't adjusted Georgia very much. Like, they're still the third best odds to win the national championship. And I know Carson Beck has been up and down, but it's still losing a starting quarterback. And he did throw for a bunch of yards to bring them back against Alabama, and I know they lost. He still did make a bunch of great plays against Georgia Tech in that crazy overtime thriller. He's still, you know, the leader of the team. And as much as I like what I saw in a very small body from Gunnar Stockton in the SEC championship game, he'll have to think about that now. And that's a unique position as a backup. When you come off the bench, it's a little bit easier when the starter gets hurt. You don't have time to think, to stress out. You just go execute. Now that he's had time to think about this, I'm very curious how he shows up, like the emotions. Does he play within himself? Does he try to do too much? And even more so, I think whatever team he faces will challenge him with blitzes. Always when you're talking about a young quarterback who hasn't played very much, you want to make sure, see how he is with protections. Does he know where to go with the football? Does he panic? Does he run? You know, and does he, you know, what does he respond to in that type of crunch time situation? Yes, I know he was good at times, but he also had that interception on 3rd and 13, which gave Texas renewed life in that game. So I'm surprised that the odds makers haven't adjusted much. I think it caps the ceiling on what Georgia can do, but I still think there's a lot of talent around him in the backfield and on that defense. That Georgia historically, if anyone has proven the ability to level up when they need to, it's been the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right, big guy, you feel the college football now moving forward, this thing goes to 16, or are we going to be stuck in 12? Because it seems like the Alabama thing, the argument for Miami, all that. Or do you feel that maybe all those games we just handicapped, some of these smaller schools, the non-traditionals, are going to get smoked and the cream just rise to the top and it's the basically meet the new.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The boss, same as the old boss.
No, Mike, I think there's going to be more. I think we've seen a lot more parity this season, and I think the trend continues. I think it's great. Now that there's sort of NIL and the portal, the combination of it, talent's allowed to move around, and you don't have to go just to a few select schools that are the ones paying under the table. Now everybody can do it out in the open, and it's legal. So it gives anybody a chance to compete. Indiana's a great example. They have spent a lot of money to buy a roster. You know, they've brought in a lot of players through the portal, including their quarterback, and that has helped them compete. Like, traditionally, they did not do that. They spent a lot of money in basketball, but not in football. And now all of a sudden, they're competitive. I do think we expand this to 16. I think it's just inevitable. I'll be a fan of it. I think that's probably the number that I see the sweet spot. But I'm all a fan of the parity that we're seeing, where there are more players at the table. But don't get it twisted. The usual suspects will still probably be the last man standing, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Oregon, Ohio State, one of these traditional blue bloods that still do spend more than everybody else, Texas. They'll probably be the ones because they still do have an edge in the roster department. It's just not as significant and lopsided as it has been for the last 20, 30 years.
Enjoy these games, Danny. We appreciate you stopping by as always. This dude rocks.
And Merry Christmas too, brother.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, man. I can't wait. I'm going to be watching, sitting on the couch, looking at, you know, the snow and the cold and loving this. I just hope we get great games, but I really think we do. I'm pumped up for it.
Carl, I wonder if Danny cut a check to FSU. Apparently, we stole some wide receiver from USC.
Well, somebody did. I mean, you know Danny's got deep pockets. Come on. Hey, Danny, by the way, you still coming to visit your people here in Atlanta? We'd love to have you on live, man. Is that still happening at some point?
So I was there for Thanksgiving, but I get up there quite a bit. I'm going to hit you guys up next time I'm there. Maybe around the new year I'll try to come up there.
All right, man. Sounds good,
we will
brother.
Send an Uber XL for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny.
Sounds great.
Appreciate
Talk to you later.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.